Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, and thank God just for another morning, another day of the Lord, another Sunday that we come to bring you the word of God. We're going to have a word of prayer. Eagle's life, we're building center, building one book at a time. Just want to give you thanks for everyone that's coming in this morning, everyone that's listening to the broadcast. We hope this broadcast be a blessing to you and you and you and you. In Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Father, just for another day. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have blessed us with. Realize and understand, Father, without you, Father, there will be nothing that is. And in spite of all that's happening and in spite of all that's going on around us this day, glory to God, some going this way, some going that way, and there's so much that's going on, praise God, amen, but we thank God, praise God, that you are still in control. Lord God, with us right now, Father, to help those, Father, to just to understand those that got trouble in their heart, those that are trouble in their mind, but Father, we know that you got all everything under control. Lord God, we ask you to just continue, Father, to stretch out your hands. Pick up those, Father, that are falling by the wayside, those that don't have the hope. Lord God, those that have lost their faith, Father, we remember the goodness and mercy this day, Lord God. Father, with us right now, Father, to just let them be able to just spring up, Father. They'll be able to open their eyes, Father, and look to the hills which come at their help, Father, knowing without you there could be nothing that is. But Lord God, we just want to just praise you and thank you just for another day. We ask this day, Father, to help us, Father, that we will continue to be a people, Father, that we all will hold on, Father, the ones that are up, the ones that are down, the ones that don't know. But, Father, we know you're the creator, Father. And we'll thank you, Father, there will be nothing that is this day. You made all things this day. Everything was created and made. Everything was put in place, Father, everything. There's nothing moving except it moved by your power today. Lord God, we ask you this day, Father, that help the people to have an ear to hear, Father, and a heart to receive this day, God. Father, they would open their eyes to a different light this day, Father, that there will be about a change, there will be a deliverance that's coming forth in the air, Father. Lord God, we'd like to just have your way, Father. We know that you're more powerful than anything that ever could occur in this present world, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and heaven above, even down below. But, Lord God, we thank you, Father. You're giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus, that shed his blood on Calvary and that laid down his life on the cross. And you gave him power to take it back up again. Lord God, we thank you, Father, that you're on the right hand, Father, standing in the gap for each and every one of us this day, Lord God. Lord, Father, we ask, Father, let an angel be round about us all this day, Father, the good and the bad, Father. Glory to God, Father, because we're all in need of something, Father. We're not confessing that we have done everything that we ought to have done, and we're not saying that we're all in all. But, Lord God, you know us, Father, better than we know ourselves, because you made us, Father. You made it possible this day, Lord God. You have told us, Father, who we are with you, Father. You are our God and our Father. And we are your children this day, Lord God. No, Father, we remember, Father, the message on last week. You said that we was the fortified wall, Father. No, God, we was the wall that couldn't be torn down. Lord God, we thank you this day, Father, that we are iron pillar, Father. We can't be moved. Oh, Lord God, Father, we give you praise and glory this day, Lord. We ask you to look on those that are lodged in the hospital today, Father. Those that are in prison this day, Lord God. Oh, Father, those that are on the street, Father. Jesus. Father, you got all knowing and all seeing eyes this day, Lord God. We ask you for your goodness and mercy, Father, that you'll put, Father. We know that you're a long-suffering God this day, Father. Oh, God, knowing that your hands are not too short, Father, that you couldn't reach down, Father, and bless each and every one of us this day, Father. Even now, to the little children, Father. In spite of those, Father, that can't lift their head up this morning, Father. Those that are just down so deep under the sick bed, Father. Hallelujah. We ask this day, Father, for a miracle working, Father, in this earth today, Lord. Oh, God, and it will spring up, Father, like a rubber ball this morning, God. Let it be so possible this day, God, because of who you are this day, Father. Oh, God, we realize and understand we are failed in so many ways, a lot of things that we have not done, a lot of things that we just didn't do. But, Lord God, you know us better than we know ourselves, Father.
Hallelujah.
You already knew this day, Father, before we even came into it, Father. Your word said that you know our thoughts are far off
yes,
this day, Lord.
Yes, Father.
And, oh, God, we ask you to move on those, Father, that need you the most, Father. Oh, God, those that, Father, that down, Father. Those that are up, Father. Oh, God, whatever the case is this day, Father, even down to the little children, Father.
Glory.
All over that every school work this day, Lord God. All of those, Father. Everywhere, Father, throughout the creation this day, Lord, we'd ask you, Father, for your blessing. These are the ones that sit in high places, Father. Oh, God, that's opening up doors and closing doors.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, we'd ask you right now, Father. Touch your heart, Father. Even their family, Father. All of their surrounding this day, Father. Oh, God, fix it, Father, that they will make the right decision, Father.
Hallelujah.
They will go in the right direction, Father. Oh, God, that we will continue, Father, that your love, Father, will abide in this earth, Father. If you have set it up to be, Father, let it come forth this day, Father. Let it never be poor, Lord God. Oh, God, we ask you to guide the doctor's arms and hands and eyes, Father. Oh, God, that everything that they're set to do, Father, we know that you give them knowledge, Father, but we know you do the healing. And Lord God, we ask right now, Father, let it be so right now, God. Oh, God, it go forth right now, Father. All of the church members, all of the preachers, throughout the land, ever since this day, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Father, for those that
glory
don't know, Lord God, we ask right now,
God.
Father,
to
just move in a special way this
Hallelujah.
Day, Lord God. Let them not be the same, Father. Let this day be a day that they will remember the rest of their lives. And Lord God, we give you praise and glory. We give you thanks this morning, Father, for all this morning. We ask you to bless you, speak this morning as the word come forth this day, Father. We ask for spiritual knowledge and wisdom and understanding this morning, Father. A rhema word, Father. Something that will take us higher than we ever been in our lives, Father. Oh, something that's going to take over us, Father, this day, Lord. Oh, God, that will be steadfast and unmovable, Father. And always abiding in the work
God.
Of the Lord right now.
Yes.
And God will give
yes.
you praise
yes.
and glory. And we'll give you thanks right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We
Glory.
Thank God for the prayer from our bishop. We thank God, amen, how he just opened up and brought us into the presence of the Most High God. Prayer changes things. Just want to say again this morning, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. We know that we're living in a time when everybody now that, like we said, the pandemic is here and families are close together. They're all in the same room and are in the same house over and over, and you get a chance to know each other. I believe this is a time when families are coming together and spending more time and talking, prayerfully talking and talking about the Lord and learning things, amen. So we take this time, praise God, and this day, I know they say this is a pagan holiday, but I don't think, amen, any paganism have anything to do with it. The Bible says, give honor where honor is due. And I believe that mothers are due honor. Amen. And there's so many Bible promises in the Bible concerning mothers. A mother's world is filled with responsibilities, concerns. We have a full schedule. And our day can often overshadow the needs of a mother. Sometimes mothers' needs go neglected for the family, for the children, for the husband. And stress some kind can be overwhelming, too. So there are a lot of Bible promises, and I want to say to the mothers, amen, take the opportunity to search the word of God for yourself, for you, so that you can gain strength. And we know that you're meeting the needs of your family, and that's important as well because, amen, like the book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 wife is a woman who blesses her family. She blesses the Lord, amen, by blessing her family. She looks after her family. She looks after her husband. She's a woman that does great things, amen, in the family, praise God. And everybody look to her for everything, praise God. She's a gracious woman. And so women are beautiful. They're beloved and they're blessed by God. God even made us from the rib of men so that we can be a helpmate to our husband. We don't overshadow them. We don't take over with them, but we become the helpmate to them. James chapter 1, Isaiah 41 and 10, Romans 5 and 8, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, Hebrews 4 and 6, Colossians 3, 12 to 14, and John 5 and 24. These are just some scriptures that you can use or go to, and there are many others in the Bible. As a mother, amen, to seek the promises of the Father. Glory to God, amen. A woman, amen, is she a strength and honor, praise God. Proverbs 31:25 says, her strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So I want to say happy Mother's Day again to our mothers. Welcome to Eagles Life Blog Talk Radio Service, Life Construction Zone. We're here to give you bricks to help you rebuild your lives. And with sound faith-filled doctrine and straight from the Bible. So we hope you enjoy the message this morning as we begin to get into the Word of God. We're speaking to you with revelations from the Most High, just what you need in times like these. In times like these, we need an anchor. We need a Savior. We pray that everybody's anchor holds and grips the solid rock. One of my favorite hymns, amen. We have to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in me, because we will be tried. Song says, have you been tried by the fire? I'm sure some of us have not yet gone through the fire, going through trial, but there are those of us that have been from one trial to the other and are still standing. So I bless God for that. And even though we're not living life as usual, glory to God, we do recognize that our Father is the most faithful. He is the true living God, and he's still on the throne. He's still in charge, glory to God. No matter what's going on, the COVID-19 and other things that are going on around us, glory to God, guess what? Amen. God is still in charge, and he's still on the throne. And we must never, ever forget his ability to move us forward and to move us to the place where we need to be, glory to God. Today, we're going to talk about the power of a woman. And we're going to come from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 25. It's a long book, glory to God. We're going to read some of it, and then we're going to get into our message for today. Starting at verse 2, and the word of God reads, there was a wealthy man from Moab who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. She was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all of his dealings. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel with this message for Nabal: peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that it is sheep shearing time. And while your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men, and they will tell you that this is true. So, would you be kind to us? Since we have come at a time of celebration, please share any provisions you might have on hand with us and with your friend David. So David's young men gave this message to Nabal in David's name, and they waited for a reply. Verse 10, who is this fellow David? Nabal sneered at the young men. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? So David's young men returned and told him what Nabal said. Get your swords, was David's reply, as he strapped on his own. Then 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail, and he told her, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time that they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection around us and around the sheep. You need to know this and figure out what to do, for there is going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. Verse 18, Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisin, 200 feed cakes. She pat them on donkeys, and she said to her servants, go ahead, and I will follow you shortly. But she didn't tell her husband Nabal what she was doing. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. David had just been saying a lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flock in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off of her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and an ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. But I never even saw the young men you sent. Now, my lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battle, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Verse 29, and even when you were chased by those to seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God. Secure is in his treasure pouch, but the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. So verse 32, David replied to Abigail, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of the boss men would still be alive tomorrow. Then David accepted her present and told her, return home in peace. I have heard what you have said. I will not kill your husband. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We rolled this morning to tell you about the power of a wise woman. Our word today is never underestimate the power of a woman. But when we think of Abigail, we think of a wise woman. Women have power, believe me. Some women have negative power and some have positive power. But we were created to be able to help the man and to steer him in the right direction. And some women wield their power in the wrong direction. But this Abigail, we have learned, was a wise, wise servant of the Most High God. It is said by someone that the heart of a wise woman is like a life preserver to a drowning man. And I not only in spiritual terms, but in natural terms, you can just receive this, you can just believe this and understand that a woman, I mean, who makes wise decisions, a woman concerned about a family, praise the Lord, amen, she is going to move by the power of God, amen. We're not going to be hastily in our decision making, but we're going to think things over. Now, when we think of a wise woman, we can rest assured that Abigail is definitely in the number of all the Bible greats. She's right there numbered up with them. She is probably a woman who is less talked about and even lesser known. The Bible describes her as a beautiful, intelligent, but yet she was married to a fool. I would say this had to be a prearranged marriage by her family for status, and that's the way they did things in those days. When even before the child is born, the father would go, if there's a notable family with no notoriety wealthy, rich, however, or a learned family, and they want to connect their child, or they have a large army and they need protection in their city, they make plans to mate their children or to marry their children. So once the children are married, that unites the family. And sometimes before the child is born, if I have a daughter, if I have a son, then we pledge them to be married. If you would send your army to protect my town, or if you would help me financially out of the state that I'm in, whatever the case be. And this is how things were done in those days. So I can imagine, not even knowing that Nabal was going to be a fool, Abigail's parent married her to him. And you'll find in our scripture reading, as I read earlier, when she said that he's like his name, calling him a fool is not throwing pun at him on my part, but that's what the Bible calls him, a fool. So Abigail is a picture of how wisdom and determination can work together and at one purpose, to save good people from harm. A wise woman would not just stand by and watch impending destruction and danger coming toward her, especially if she feels like there's a way it can be avoided. She's going to step in with a life preserver, not with a gun, not with a magnum, not yelling and screaming and cussing and using harsh words, because those harsh words can become an instrument used in the opposite way, unnecessary explosion because of your words. So a wise woman is going to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. The wrong approach could drive that person that you're trying to reason with, could drive them to do something that they or you, both of you, may later regret. So calm, carefully chosen words, they can lead to a peaceful resolution to any problem. A soft answer, the Bible says, according to Solomon, turns away strife. But grievous words stirs up anger, Proverbs 15:1. And I believe that to be so. And most of us can attest to that. Somebody come at you the wrong way, most of the time your dander's going to get up and you're going to come back at them in the same manner they come at you. But I try to live by this motto, and I was trying to teach my children. I teach my children at school the same, and I teach my own children. Don't let somebody else's action dictate your reaction. Draw yourself back from the situation a little bit before you respond, because if we weren't out there hot-headed, we're going to get in trouble, and we're going to get that person in trouble too. So we have to learn, according to the scriptures, to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Abigail, she immediately grasped the situation, and she stands between peace and destruction. When the servant came to her to tell her what was going on, she understood, oh man, this idiot that I'm married to, he's going to get all us killed. So I need to do something. I need to act. And sometimes, you know, she didn't go to him. She didn't even tell him what she was doing, as we read in the scriptures, if you were listening earlier. She didn't. And right now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 25, those that are just coming on. And read this in your leisure. But we see that Abigail, she didn't jump up and go running to her husband. You fool, why did you do that? No. She went behind. She let him go ahead and continue in his way. And she got the servants, and she put together a package deal to take to this man of God. Never underestimate the power of a wise woman. Glory to God. Women, like I said earlier, do have power. There are women that use their power in negative ways. Remember Samson and Delilah? Delilah knew that Samson was crazy over her. And so she used her abilities as a woman to get him hooked, hawked, tied, and collared around her. And then she sold him out for a few pieces of silver, glory to God, so that they can find out how he got his strength. She gave him up. And there's so many women that will use that, wield that power in the wrong direction. And then there are women that use that power. Look at Esther, how she used her power to go before the king to save her people. But she didn't go running in there, king, you got to save my people. This fool that you hired, he want to kill all my people. She didn't do that. She got herself prepared. She got herself ready. The Bible says she took her shower, she took her bath, and she oiled herself. She bathed for so many days in certain spices, and she prepared herself. She fasted first. She turned her plate down and went before God for directions on how to get the king to get on her side to save her people from death. And she followed the instructions, and she went before the king, because in those days, excuse me, you can't just walk in the presence of the king without his okay. But she was such a beautiful woman that he just looking on her, he just told her to come on in. And she was ready. She didn't go storming in there like a woman, a hot-headed woman, wild and unwise. She went in like a beautiful queen. And that's what he wanted, a queen to parade. That's what he liked. That's what her husband, he's the kind of man that liked to parade his beautiful wife on his arm. And that's the way she came to him. And so she used her wisdom, and she saved her family. She saved the nation of the Jews, and she saved her uncle, and her uncle became the leader in the place of the man that plotted to kill them. So God moves, he moves the women. We can't usurp authority over our man, but we have to understand that they are the weaker vessel. They say, the Bible says we're the weaker vessel, but women, if you use your wiles in the right way, you can understand how to motivate your man. Their egos, especially our men, their egos are already torn down, so they need somebody that's going to encourage them and help boost their ego. And so you have the power as a wise woman to do that. You have a power to step in. Glory to God. Amen. There are several things that took place in this story, Samuel chapter 25. Let's talk about the first one. We just want to cover a few. David, first of all, made a request, and he made a request to a fool. How many can raise their hand and say, I've gone to a fool for help? And what you got back? Foolish things, glory to God, amen, or the foolish response, a foolish response. So if we read verse 4, it says, when David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel, excuse me, with this message to Nabal. Now listen to the message. Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that it is sheep shearing time. And while your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own men, and they will tell you this is true. So, would you be kind to us? And since we have come at a time of celebration at your party, please share any provisions that you might have on hand with us and with your friend David. I mean, how nice can you be? How sweet was that? He approached Nabal in the sweetest way. He sent his servant with kind words. He didn't send them to usurp authority, which David could have. We know that David had a powerful army, and the Lord was with him. But he was also a kind-hearted. He had the heart of God, and he was a kind-hearted man. So he went to him. I have one. He went to him, and we went to him in sincerity. Sorry. And he went to them. And humble, he was full of humility. Now he is setting. I don't know how Nabal's thinking is as a fool. I mean, can you imagine? You know, he knew who David was, and he knew what was going on. But now, here is the servant David sent to him. And so the setting is that David and his men, they're on the run from King Saul. And if you know the story, Saul was the king of Israel that God had made, the first king of Israel. But for somehow he got jealous of David, because David had the favor of God, and he was a man that was able to go out and win wars. He never lost a fight. The people worshiped him and loved him. They even made songs about David because he was that type man. He was successful in it, and then he also killed Goliath the giant. So Saul's army kept chasing after David over and over and over, but David was able to elude him in spite of the fact that Saul had spies all over the land, but David was still able to elude him. And David had the power of God with him. He was very shrewd in his invasions of the armies that came against him. He didn't have to run from Saul. This is the humbleness of his heart, because he had power to subdue Saul, but he didn't. He said, I would never put my hands on the Lord's anointed. So to avoid killing him, he would run for him. So on one occasion, David is in the wilderness of Paran, and this is a good area for raising sheep and goats. And there in that same spot was Nabal, the very rich man that we're talking about, Abigail's foolish husband. And his sheep herders were there, and they kept the large flock there, the sheep goats. And so, excuse me, David and his army was there. They were camped out, hiding from Saul. But they didn't touch the sheep. They didn't touch the goats. They did not touch the shepherds. They guarded them. In fact, they made their army their camp around them, like a wall around them, so that even animals would not go in to kill them. No people could go in to steal from them or to take them. So besides tending the flock, the shearer's time also is celebrated with a festival with lots of food and lots of festivities. And so shearing is important. It's almost similar to harvest time for farmers. How they have a big party, a big celebration when it's time to harvest the flock that you, crop that you grew all through the year. That's the way shearing time is. So now it's time to take the wool to the market. So Nabal is there, and he's at the shearing event. They're having a party. And so his wife, by the way, Abigail, her name means whose father is joy. And Nabal, her husband's name means fool. And this is where we get why I call him fool, because that's what the Bible says. And he was a surly man and mean, you know, mean, vindictive in everything he did, according to verse 3, chapter 25. He had the best name that suited his character. And this makes you wonder, again, how they even got together. But like I said, it had to be an arranged marriage. That's why I'm convinced. There's no way a woman like Abigail would have purposed to marry a fool. So David knew that Nabal was in the area, and so that's when he sent the 10 men out to him to greet him in a very, like I said, a very pleasant manner to ask him for food for himself and his army. It was a party. It was a celebration, and David knew that there would be more than enough food to spare. So David sent him a very pleasant and encouraging kind of greeting, even reminded him that his army was the one that protected his sheep, and they could have taken over, taken them, but they didn't. He said, never took anything from them, never caused any harm to them. In fact, we were a wall of protection around them. And so he showed him the kindness, and all he asked for is that he show me back the kindness. David told him that he could ask his servants. If you don't believe me, if there's a problem, ask your servants how we watched over the flock. All he asked for was him to give him whatever he could spare from the celebration. Now, the second event is Nabal responded harshly to David's request. Look what the scriptures say in verse 10 to 13. It says, who is this fellow David? Nabal sneered to the young men. Who does his son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants, Dave, who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? David's young men returned and told him what Nabal had said. Get your swords, was David's reply as he strapped on his own. Then 400 men started off with David, 200 remained behind to guard his equipment. The way Nabal responded to David's request shows his true nature and his character. His sarcasm, who is David? This was a direct insult because he knew exactly who David was. David was a hero for so many years, just not even that many years before Saul started chasing him. He'd already brought Israel through victory and defeated the giant Goliath. So how could he not know who David was? He was being very sarcastic. How could he pretend in the eyes of his servant, David's servant, like, I don't know David. Everybody knew him. Then he insinuated that David was a traitor to the king of Israel, like he was a rebel. He was a common criminal. This was a slap in the face to David and to the messengers that he sent. Nabal says there's no reason for him to take provisions from his shearers and to give to David and his men. He didn't have any appreciation for David's service to him and his men, how they worked for him. Nabal only cared for himself. His response infuriated David. David got so angry, he immediately ordered two-thirds of his army, 400 of his men, to come on, let's go, and prepare for battle. David was strong bent on wiping out the whole bloodline of Nabal's family. He was going to kill them all, stop at the family, the servants, and the army. He said there will never be not one man left on the next day. Nabal's rude refusal to give David what was fairly due to him prompted David to see him as a deadly political adversary. And this is why he thought, if I let him go, he's going to be coming after me like I'm a beast or something. So I better get rid of him. David decided to wipe him out, wipe out his whole entire family. That way I know I got them all. So before he come after me, I got to come after him, his ungrateful self. The third thing was, event, was that Abigail stepped in. She interceded. A woman led by God is powerful. Never underestimate the power of a woman. Don't, mothers, women, don't underestimate your power. You can build your house or you can tear it down. Solomon wisely said that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down. So you got to make decisions whether you're going to be wise or whether you're going to be foolish. Follow the leadership of the father. So David, the way he's responded to David's request was who he is. And David knew exactly who Nabal was. And so Abigail stepped in. Glory to God. Verse 14 says, meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at them. These men have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You need to know this and figure out what to do, for there's going to be trouble. I can see it now. I can see this man in front of Abigail now telling her, there's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that nobody can even talk to him. Verse 18, Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 wineskins full of wine, 5 sheep that had been slaughtered, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 fig cakes. She packed them on a donkey and said to her servants, go ahead and I will follow you shortly. But she didn't tell her husband, Nabal, what she was doing. When it comes to her family, you can expect a lady, and I say that with great honor, lady, L-A-D-Y, not just any woman, but a lady who is a woman, a mother, a woman of honor, she'll step in and she'll unleash all kinds of power, but wisdom and power. The one thing a wise woman will not do is she won't go off all half-cocked and full of wrath and foul words. A wise woman is cunning and cool. She's calm. She's very full of love and honor, and she's not caught up into all kinds of stuff. She's seeking the voice of God for guidance. She's slowly moving. She'll keep a level head and she'll turn her ear to the Father. Glory to God. She's not going to be a fool. She acts like a lady. She becomes a lady. Only foolish women will use vulgar and aggressive words. This will make this the situation even worse and cause contention and strife. And you wonder why, even though you were in the right and that situation was caused by the other person, but you added fuel to it. You might know the best way to move on a situation, but you must be careful how you move if you want to fix it. It doesn't matter if you know a better way to do it, or if you try to tell him, well, you're wrong, that this is the best way. And sometimes my husbands don't listen. Sometimes the men don't. But if you're going to usurp authority over and be aggressive, you're only going to make a good situation better or a bad situation worse. Choose, not better, but worse, and a bad situation even worse. Choose your words wisely. A relationship is best built of kindness and patience. Soft words will turn away strife. Somebody coming at you the wrong way, you come back to them kindness, after a while they'll see themselves and they'll begin to mellow out and come down. You can put out the fire, or you can put more kindling on it and stir up the heat. That's what you want. You got to make a decision. Your power is strong, but never underestimate the power of a wise woman. You can use your power and wield the wrong weapon, or you can use your power in wisdom. When one of the Baal's servants told Abigail what had happened, she immediately knew and understood what she had to be done. This is a crisis, and I have to do something. She immediately moves. Can you imagine? Sometimes things do happen, and you think, why do I have to be the one to fix everything? Because God made it that way. You're to help me. You're the one that has the patience. You're the one that has that ear that can hear the Lord. But if you go off all hot-headed and trying to make things happen in your own manner, you can cause a catastrophe. You can build up your house or you can tear it down. She moves cautiously in a way that will avoid any unnecessary catastrophe. I applaud her for that. She had lived with this man for a long time, and she'd been with him long enough to know how and when to move. There's no way that you live in with a man all these years and you don't know what moves him. You don't know how to get him to humble. You don't know how to get him to move in the direction you want to move. I'm going to tell you, pushing and shoving is not going to do it. He's only going to push back. It's only going to cause harm to you, to your family, and to your relationship. Be cunning. Mothers, women, ladies, be cunning, but be wise and be patient and be kind. David sent an appropriate greeting to Nabal, but this fool, this man, responded with no hint of hospitality. He just didn't care. No hint of gratitude. Instead, he threw insults at the men and insults at his master. These servants of Nabal had seen how David cared for them. They had seen how his men respected them and how they showed them kindness in the past. They even felt that it would only be fair to give David what he requested. But he worked for a fool long enough to know that, you know, you don't go to a fool. You need to go to someone who's wise. So, you know, you go to the wife because she's the one that's going to make things right. She's the sensible one, so to speak. And that's not always the case. There are some foolish women out there that make dumb mistakes and deal in a hot-headed way, mess a situation up. But in a case like this, when the man is the one that's surly and mean and ornery, and the woman is the one that's kind and gentle and wise, then you want to go to the woman. You don't want to try. You will not be able to talk sense in a fool. It's wasted words. You can't do that. You just waste your words. You ever talk to somebody and you're trying to convince them of right, or you're trying to make them do things in the right way? You feel like you're just throwing words out there. You're just talking, you know, just out in the atmosphere. Well, there are times, amen, and when you can just draw back and say, you know what, I'm talking to a fool. Because your words will be wasted. Solomon says that. Don't waste your words on a fool, because he will not take correction. He don't care. He's going to always hold his head up and believe what he believes. So he told the servant, went to Abigail, and he told her what had happened and how David and his men watched and protected them during that time that they were with them, and how they were like a wall or a shield around them to protect them from the enemies, even the wild animals who would attack the sheep goats. But their future was placed in Abigail's hand. Here, you got to make a decision. His master was stubborn and obstinate and egotistical, and his mind, what he knew, was never going to change. He was just stupid that way. So, you know, he's looking at Abigail, okay, now you got to make a decision. You got to do something. You got to fix this, because we're all in trouble. Abigail had to think fast. She knows that David don't play, and he wins every battle that he fights. He is the chosen one of the father. She goes quickly to gather tons of food to take to David and to his men. She sent the food ahead, wise, with her servant, and she followed after him. I can imagine why she was on the trail going. She was praying and talking to the father on her way, because she needed God to give her guidance. She needed him to word her mouth. Sometimes what we say may not be the right thing, and that's why we need to seek God. In the book of Numbers, God told Moses when he went out to speak to the people, he told him what to say and how to say it. Glory to God. Amen. And Samuel, he told Samuel, all of his prophets, he told him, when he told Ezekiel, he said, when you go, he said, I'm going to make you a watcher on the wall. He said, but when you speak to the people, he told him what to say to them. He said, but speak with my words. We always want to have the last word and think that we know what to say. But I'm telling you, sometimes if you think it's the right thing to say, if you haven't searched it over and pondered it by the Father, it's not always the right thing to say. And you might think it's kind, but it's not. So she had to think. And I can imagine going behind her servant, talking to the Father, glory to God, will give her an opportunity, because she know that David and his army were bad, capital B-A-D. And so she know that she had to speak cautiously and use great wisdom, and it had to come directly from the Father, because David was mad. He said, if the Lord take my life now if it be one person of this man's household left tomorrow. Not one person. He was going to kill them all. The children, the mother, the babies, he didn't care. The servants, the slaves, the army, everybody that was under the Nabal's authority was going to die because of this incident. He was angry. And sometimes anger can cause you to do the wrong thing. Even though David was a man after the heart of God, he still got angry. And that's why the Bible said, get angry, but sin not. As long as we don't commit sinful acts, glory to God, amen. It's okay to get angry, but calm yourself down and move in a wise way. Take a minute, take motion after Abigail. Abigail was a very wise woman. She gave wise counsel to David. David, now listen, verse 26 and 31, listen at how she spoke to him. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. See, she took that upon herself. It wasn't even her. It was her husband. Glory to God, that defended him. But she didn't say, blank, go out there and say, that was my husband with his crazy, foolish self. She did not. She said, if I have offended you in any way, the Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty. For you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your whole entire life. Now, do you see what she's doing here in verse 28? Listen, let's read that again. She said, please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battle. Now, she's talking future here. She's telling him. She's playing on his ego, but she's telling him the truth. And she said, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. She's waking him up now, bringing him back to reality, giving him an opportunity to rethink what he's decided to do. I'm going to kill all them people. But she's stopping him before he pulled. You've been a good man all these years. Stop before you do something to destroy who you really are. Verse 29 says, even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. Verse 30, when the Lord has done all he promised and has made you leader over Israel, sin, I see she, you know these are words from God because she didn't know him like that. And she's telling him in verse 30, when the Lord has done all he promised and has made you root leader over Israel, that made him think, oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to be the king. Verse 31, she says, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant. Awesome. When you're talking wisdom, you couldn't use more wisdom than that. Coming directly from the Father, she slowly allowed God to minister to her. She didn't go running half-cocked, wide open. I got to stop this. I got to fix it. This fool done messed up and meet him down the road, talking all kind of trash and putting down on her husband. She immediately took the blame herself. And she hadn't even seen the servant. She told him, when you read later in the scripture, she said, I didn't get a chance to see your servants. I didn't know that they had come. And she didn't. She didn't know they had come. She's saying, I would have given them to them. She would have. So instead, she's doing it now. She knew this next step would make or break the situation. She quickly switched from concerned wife to concerned lady. There's a difference in a woman and a lady. Any female can be a woman, but a lady? Come on. It takes power. It takes wisdom. It takes poise. It takes a woman who thinks instead of speaking, and she speaks slowly instead of just blurting out cuss words or defamatory words to people. She walks with poise, even grace in her step. She holds her head with grace. You know, she's not slouching and pimping her way around, but she's a lady. And so Abigail goes beyond a wife interceding for her husband and for her household. Now she becomes a messenger of the Lord to this man of God, a man who loved God with all his heart. I mean to tell you, when you want to approach, especially a man of God, you got to make sure that you got your ducks in a row, because you're going to have to appeal to his love for the Father. And that's what she did. A much bigger picture was clear here. She shares with David an understanding of God the Father's purpose for his future and for the status of David, to let him know that I know that you're a great man and you don't stoop this low. You ain't cussing nobody out. You ain't pulling out your AK-47 to shoot somebody because they made you mad or did something foolish. You use wisdom because you got a kind heart. And when you fight battles, you have good reason for your battles. And so she began to tell him, you can accomplish much when you're surrendered to the man of God, to the power of God. And so as a woman of God, We can do just like David. We have to hear the voice of God, whether he's speaking through a child. And sometimes God brings us encouragement through our children and slow us down and stop us down. But we push them out. Get out of the way. Go on in there and sit down. Shut your mouth. When the Lord is trying to tell you something through that child to stop you from putting your foot in your mouth or running into a situation that you can't get out of, surrendering yourself to the Lord. God knows what's best for us. He loves us. Our life is already planned. He has given us everything that we need on this to live and to survive with and to enjoy. He told us to occupy until he comes. We have given us what we need to occupy, but he wants us to occupy in him, in kindness. Jesus, before he left the earth, he said, all these commandments of the Father you need to follow. He said, but they are all fulfilled in these two commandments right here. The first one is that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and with everything you got, with your spirit, with everything. And the second one is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And all of these are the commandments fulfilled, because when you love God, you're going to do everything he said, everything that's righteous, and even to the point of loving your brother like you're supposed to, your brother, your neighbor, the brethren of the church, those around you. Be kind to people. Give to those that request from you. Don't even question it. Give. Show love, because everything that you do on this earth, God will restore it back to you 100-fold. We don't lose nothing. Jesus said, if you give, if you take up your cross and follow me, it's not just the burdens you're taking up, but you're taking up his character. And a wise woman, with power from the Holy Spirit, she's taking on the character of Christ. She's loving people, giving to people, sharing with people. Folk can make you mad. They can make you cuss. Glory to God. Amen. But you've got to understand that patience turns away strife, and a wise answer turns away anger. And so David, she carefully shares with him that coming to him was an action that the Lord gave her just to keep him from shedding innocent blood. It's dangerous, glory to God, to fall into the hands of the man of God. I mean, when God's army is out there, David, he was the man who commanded the army of the Lord. Murder is not supposed to be on his hand. And when he's shedding blood, the blood that he shed is supposed to be in a war setting, not just killing somebody because they made you mad or they didn't give you no food. And Abigail was very, very skilled and instrumental in saving him from dirtying up his hands with the wrong kind of blood. And so another instance of God's care and direction for David's life was shown through her. This is the reason David has to be more thankful to Abigail, because of her tenacity and her tactfulness, how she handled him. And she handled him, believe me. A wise woman knows how to handle a man. She handled him. She was using God's words, and they were all true, gently reminding David who he is. And she was sheer female, but she was using female godly wisdom. Today they call it women's intuition. But she was using godly wisdom, pronouncing a blessing upon David. She didn't just start with telling him what the Lord had planned for him, but she pronounced a blessing upon him and his men, assuring him that he will be the future king. Remember, you're going to be king. She was using flattering words. And guess what? Using flattering words are fine as long as they're true. Don't lie, find the truth and tell them the truth. Maybe I'm ugly and you don't want to tell me I'm ugly. Don't tell me I'm beautiful when I know I'm ugly. I mean, you know, your version of ugly or whatever the case may be. So you know what? You're a nice lady. That's fine with me. She urged him not to engage in vengeful actions. But she was, in essence, telling him, you are better than that. And you got to think about it. Killing the whole family and other innocent victims, that'll put a stain on your hands and blot out your future as king. You can imagine what would have happened. David accepts the request of Abigail. He accepts her words. So he was able to recognize that what she was saying to him had to come from the mouth of God. This was not just ordinary words. And so Abigail listening to the father and she receiving the words from the father on her way, she's hearing the word that God's speaking to her. So she hears from the father and she speaks to him. So she returned home. Okay, it's fine. She thwarted the war. Now David takes his men and they turn back. We're not going to go kill Nabal and his whole family. That means he would have had to kill Abigail too. And so when she returned home, she couldn't just go straight to her husband and tell him what had happened. She had to wait because he had been drinking and now he was drunk. They still celebrating their party. So the next morning, when he was awake and sober, she was able to confront him and tell him the whole story and the things that had transpired and how close he had brought himself, his family, and his army to being completely annihilated by David and his army. Glory to God. David was a soldier of the Most High, and he never lost a battle. I can imagine, and that would have been a bloodbath. And so when Nabal heard those words, the Bible says he had a stroke, and he became paralyzed from his head down. He couldn't move for weeks. And after a while, the Lord just took him out. He died. So David took Abigail as his wife. He didn't just take Abigail. All this worked out well for Abigail. He took the servants. He took the property, the soldiers. Everything now became the property of David. Never underestimate the power of a wise woman. You may be in whatever situation or circumstance that's happening right now. We know that we're celebrating today as Mother's Day, but I believe that every day women should be celebrated, mothers especially. There are all kinds of mothers there. Some of them are just mamas and some are moms, mom, mother, whatever the case may be, nana, whatever. Some grandparents are now mothers to their grandchildren because the children's birth mother either would or could not take care of her own children. And so we got mothers that are being mothers over and over again through their generations because they're the ones in the family that's taking on the responsibility of that particular child. And so the women, as I said earlier from the beginning, we need encouragement. There's so many promises, ladies, in the Bible that will help you through. There's power in the Word of God. When you're concerned about your future, go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 26, when the scripture says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they are? Just remember, ladies, you are made in the image of God. God has made us. He created us, and he knew all about us. When things are hard and you feel like you cannot get yourself in the mold that you need to be in to move forward, pick up your Bible and read the Word of God. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning. It's Mother's Day morning. I pray that the Lord will bless you today and that you will have good family time and you have good reminiscing time and the Lord will share, will have you share with between each other the best thing that you have for each other, and that's love. I pray that your children would speak to you and call you, or if there's any problems or situations that need to be dealt with, that they're dealt with, and that you move forward. I pray God's blessings upon you, upon your household, and I pray that he will be eternally return you back to the sheepfold. Ask you to pray with me. Father, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he is my Savior. I accept him into my life. And I ask you, Father, to keep me, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, and lead me forward this day into all righteousness and truth. God bless you. Thank you for joining Eagles Life Construction Zone. Until next week, have a blessed day. God bless you. Love you.